Around the clock, around the world, Bloomberg keeps you connected on television, online, on the radio, and on mobile.
This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, August 20th, 2010. Good morning. I'm Ken Pruitt, Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York. Our guest is David Buick, analyst at BGC Partners in London. David, good morning.
Morning, Ken.
Well, we're looking at pretty much record lows here for U.S. government securities. Do they keep moving down?
Well, I think the uncertainty prevails. They will attract funds because the alternative government bonds in many parts, particularly the southern Mediterranean ones, you know, do have the fear of, being unable to meet their financial commitments in the same manner. So I can't see these, in terms of yields, these yields going up again for the time being. Markets are very uncertain, but it's very interesting how volatile the week's been because most of the major indices, if they closed at the current levels that they're suggested at in Europe and likely to open in the United States, the week's flat. And we've seen an enormous amount of volatility. We've seen a huge amount of data across our paths, some of it quite dispiriting in a way, but because of the massive level of M&A activity, I don't think equity markets are going to have a major fallout. I think the level of activity is only second in August to 2007. We're undergoing enormous deals that we've heard of, the $40 billion bid for potash by BHP Billiton, last night's effort for Intel, prepared to pay, as we understand it, $7.8 billion. For its counterparty there. It makes a huge, huge difference. I mean, McAfee is a big deal in normal circumstances, and we just get a few more of those. And together with, obviously, some of the major companies still prepared to pay reasonable dividends, make the alternative asset class a fairly unattractive proposition. So we just think the market's going to bob around like a cork in a bath, responding to good and bad news as it comes up.
Well, that's been a big topic of conversation, David, over the past few quarters about all the corporate cash that's building up. But the discussion had to do with CEOs reluctant to really do anything because of uncertainty. Are we likely to look back on a couple of the deals this week and say that was the turning point?
We think it's all about value now. The big companies, the big corporations, particularly in the world of technology, they've got plenty of money. The banks, I don't think we're going to see any mergers at all. We may see some of the smaller regional banks merge in the next 2 or 3 years. But once value is identified, I think you're going to see, I'm not going to say a slew of deals, but I think on a very, very carefully considered basis, they're going to come through. I mean, another one that's just reared its ugly head this morning about 5 minutes ago is that we've seen British Gas's share price go up by 6%. There's a very strong rumor in the market that Shell is considering a £16 bid. Now, whether that actually comes up or not, we don't know. But whilst this kind of talk prevails, that people are looking for natural strategies and natural synergy, and, you know, it's all about value. We are really, some of these stocks that are on offer at the moment do represent good value, providing the world's economy doesn't actually end back into a double dip.
David, we're talking about all the flurry of M&A activity here and all the cash that corporations are holding. Is that what most of that cash is going to go for, M&A, or is it going to be dividend increases or share buybacks or something else?
Well, as I say, I think M&A activity for the bigger companies is going to be the order of the day. I think the rest of the investing public is going to take a very careful watch and be incredibly vigilant, because certainly as regards Europe is concerned, the austerity packages won't really start to bite until the autumn or perhaps even early next year. And as we've seen growth forecasted for just pretty much everywhere in the world to fall in the third and fourth quarter. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are right in forecasting that, but something would have to really trigger a reconsideration on that. A couple of days ago, we saw that Germany's Bundesbank had forecasted to upgrade growth for 2010 from 2.7 to 3%. Well, that's only a modest increase from what we already saw 2 or 3 days ago. So it is very, very tricky at the moment, but whilst companies have taken the opportunity during the course of the last 3 or 4 months to make sure that they're mean and lean, that their costs are under control, they can deliver decent profits. And it's really only the retail sector that has been a little bit reticent in saying how they think the future is going to go. Others seem to be really, relatively comfortable that they're going to deliver pretty much what they did last time, if not slightly improve on it.
Well, of course, you look at the BHP Billiton bid for potash, it's pretty easy to be optimistic if you're running a mining company in Australia, right?
Well, I think that's right. But, I mean, what this has really done is thrown down the gauntlet for the whole thing, because all of a sudden when everybody looks at this bid and say, what on earth has it got to do with BHP, even though they've got a very modest potash business themselves, the answer is that the world is going to be horrifically short of food in the next 20 to 50 years, and their fertilizers really come into it. Now, I don't think any other mining company can afford to increase maybe more than maybe $160 a share, which is a bit of an improvement from where the money's on the table already. But that wouldn't preclude, of course, sovereign wealth stepping into the breach, or maybe a Chinese company, because they have obviously serious problems in terms of food disposal in the course of the next year, jumping on the bandwagon. So this is what I mean about looking at value. There's certain value for shares. I mean, if BHP increased it up to $160 a share, there is the chance they'd have to borrow too much money, and therefore their credit could get downgraded and there'd be dilution of shareholder value. But I think that Marius Klopfers knows really what he's doing, and I think he's well capable of providing the natural synergies for this business. And there again, on the other side of the coin, we're quite excited but a little bit concerned about the General Motors IPO.
David Buick, BGC Partners, on the line from London. Our guest is Ashraf Lydeep, Chief Market Strategist at CMC Markets in London. Ashraf, good morning.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Well, what's your take here on 0.46 for two-year U.S. Treasuries?
Well, it's what's my take? Well, this is really shows that there is not only concerns about a slowing growth, but they are also manifesting through a decline in inflation or a slowdown in inflation. I wouldn't go as far as calling deflation. I'd call it towards disinflation. And in the currency market, this is really the main reason that I call it, you know, the yield. I'm sure you've heard of the yin and the yang. This is the yield and the yen. Lower yields are giving no choice for people just to put their money in the yen.
So what will they do with it then?
Well, basically, you know, there is a lot of talk that I'm sure you know that, you know, by now, that when there is because the Japanese are the biggest providers of world capital searching for the extra yield because they have a structurally low yield and interest rates. Well, when the rest of the world yields are so low and down, well, the Japanese keep them at home. That big capital that usually travels the world stays at home. And the traders, when they anticipate this and they see that, they put more money in that. But it goes beyond that, Ken. You know now that the Japanese now are trying to reduce some of their holdings in treasuries, and they're putting money in, the Chinese are doing that, and they're putting money in yen. So there seems to be, I mean, who knew, but the yen could be becoming as an increasingly sort of safe haven currency for the central bank, not for its yield luster, but of its perceived safety in this world where people think that yields could be staying very low.
Briefly here, Ashraf, one of our top stories this morning, Axel Weber of the Bundesbank says the ECB will consider an exit from emergency lending in the first quarter. Does that sound about right?
Wow. Well, let's just make sure. This is a very interesting story. Okay, the short answer to that, does that sound about right? It may sound right about their intention, but they may not happen. We have to know, even though Weber is very important, he's one of the two guys running for Jean-Claude Trichet's job. Guess what? He was outvoted this spring because he did not want the ECB to buy bonds, but the ECB did end up buying bonds to stabilize the situation there, and he did not want that, and he was outvoted.
Ashraf Lydeep, Chief Market Strategist at CMC Markets, on the line from London. This is Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio.
Copyright Bloomberg LP 2010.